The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is, Wednesday already, November the 12th, 7:05 in the morning here. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. Good morning.
And we're back in the studio live today.
We are.
So no glitches.
No glitches. Well, you know what happened yesterday? I'm so embarrassed. You know, we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. I will tell what I did if you'll say tell everybody what the weather is.
Okay. Well, just like you say, please don't cut the red wire. There's a particular reason. It's a real simple thing not to do. But
there's a new thing to write on the board today, Bob. All right? And I'll tell you in just a second.
Okay. There's a chance of rain today. It's currently 52 degrees if you're just joining us. Good morning. So happy to have you here. It's been an incredible couple days with everything veteran. We have so much to cover. Chance of rain today with temperatures around 62. That's our high. Low tonight with 48. Showers likely tomorrow with temperatures around highs of 60. So, you know, the temperatures are going down. Nice to be able to think about those jackets. Chance of showers on Thursday night with lows around 46. And Friday, again, slight chance of showers with the temperatures around 63 with lows of 46. Now, the weather is every day here brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane where, well, our customers are warm friends. The reason I'm saying that is because it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. It was okay.
Not
take that
anymore.
Off.
That's gone. I've just ripped that one off the page.
Our customers are warm friends. They give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
Okay.
There you go. That's right. The weather forecast. Tell them what you did.
All right. Now, yesterday, if you were listening to the program, you know, we have just the latest in electronics. We really do. We can go anywhere, and as long as I have a air card, I can talk, and it sounds like we're in the station most of the time, almost all the time. Well, yesterday, in the middle of the show, I disconnected from the internet. Just disconnected, just like that. It was just, that's it. It was just off. And I'm like, you know, of course, there's a lot of activity down there. We were, of course, at Crown Motors. Thank you. A huge shout out to Crown Motors, who put a salute to the veterans together and are donated are donating $100 per car sold. And as of yesterday, it was over $500. And that was early in the morning. So so for any car sold on Monday and Tuesday, Steve Roberts, all of the guys and girls and out at Crown Motors, big thank you. Anyway, and then I just lose the internet. I go, Bob, I've lost. What's going on here? And he says,
leaving your producer hanging live on the air.
Yeah, well, I'm worse because I'm hanging live out there, and I'm getting ready to interview a 93-year-old hero from World War II. We're going to talk about Lewis Coulter here in a second. And he's going, okay. He says, turn everything off, disconnect everything, pull the battery. Do it. He's going through all these things. Restart it. Still can't get the internet back up. It wasn't until at the end of the – as I was looking at it after the show.
After doing the show from the cell phone.
No, wait a minute. I came back here. I came back and put everything up, and I turned the computer back on. Still no internet. And I'm looking at it, and I look down at this one little button. It's a little button on your computer. If the Wi-Fi is on, it's a white light. If the Wi-Fi is off, it's a little red light. It was a little red light that was on the whole time. And I saw it once and I pushed it, but nothing happened. You've got to kind of like hold it for a little bit, you know, to turn it back on. So here I was tearing everything apart, and I had turned off the Wi-Fi somehow when I was moving things around on the boards out there.
Well, the last 2 days,
I am writing it down, so We're going to put it on the board up there next to. Don't cut the red wire, which has been up there.
Is the Wi-Fi on?
Is
seriously?
The Wi-Fi white light on? That's what you have to write. Is the Wi-Fi white light on? And you always have to refer back to that.
Well, we've had the Marine Corps birthday, of course, on Monday. We were on location again.
Were we there?
It looks like we had a little bit of problem with the connection with the chat room on that day. So thanks for coming back and being with us. We just have these glitches. It's all everything computer. You know, it happens all the time when the electricity goes off and you reset your lights and so on and so forth. So we're always happy with our chat pack and their patience, and know that we love to engage with you. So good morning.
Well, a lot of times too, it's pilot error, as we say. We don't check something and that we should. In my case, I didn't check the Wi-Fi. In the other case, if it was running, the streaming needs to be checked on a regular basis, at least once an hour, if not more. Anyway, so that's what's happening now.
There's so much to cover here.
Harvest of Hope. We already hit that on Monday.
Harvest of Hope.
But the Marine Corps Ball.
Let's talk about the Marine Corps Ball, go ahead. I will interrupt you in a moment because it's just going to happen.
Hasn't happened maybe previous to this.
Thanks for the warning, though. On the Marine Corps Ball, we had over 300 people there. In fact, they were saying they figured like 280. Well, like 320 showed up, but Wind River, as usual, could handle it. And
graciously,
and we said, well, and this is not in any way at all a slam, but we had butter on the table, and somebody says, well, aren't there any rolls? And the girl looks at us very apologetically. She said, we ran out. Well, they ran out because there's like eight other tables that got, or another six tables were added. Anyway, the food was magnificent. The service was just great there. But here's the best thing. The Marine Corps Ball, I've been to, gosh, how many of them? 40 at least? Starting in 1970, I was in boot camp. And we didn't do anything like that, except later on the drill instructor said that you get to lay in bed tonight instead of us making you do push-ups. So since 1970, so I haven't missed a Marine Corps Ball since then. Either unless I was in some kind of exotic place or some place that I just couldn't even get back to one. And they're all about the same. And the larger ones are very much pomp and circumstance and all this. But when you get down to this, if 300 people, but you have a small committee putting on the Marine Corps Ball, but they followed the landing plan. And there are instructions about how to have the Marine Corps Ball in the way it should look. And they were great. There might have been a couple minor things that nobody noticed, but they were great. Iron Mike Gutierrez, Colonel Wessel.
Oh, my goodness.
Bill Phelan.
Class acts.
Dick Fighton, who is not a Marine, but a sailor, but he's right in the middle of it the whole time. The Semper Fi, too, that was there. Vic Rope, Mass Sergeant, and then Sergeant Rick Boatwright. And then they had a bunch of cadets there, too. The oldest Marine was 102 years old. 102 years old, and he walked up to the podium. He needed a little help, but he walked up to the podium to get his piece of cake, because part of the tradition in the Marine Corps is from the ones who have gone before to the ones who are coming up. And he symbolized the old Corps.
Well,
and he takes a piece of the cake that's marched out there, and he takes a bite, and then that piece of cake is handed over to the youngest Marine, who was a 22-year-old female Lance Corporal, who then she takes a piece of that same piece of cake, takes a bite of that same piece of cake. And this place was kind of cool because nobody put a fork on it. So the oldest Marine reaches in, grabs a piece with his hand, and then the Lance Corporal, she reaches in because, you know what, hey, we can reach in and eat with our hands.
Like it.
And then, to the guest of honor, they got a piece. But then it was marched off. I mean, it was absolutely perfect there. 102 years old, representing the old Corps, and a 22-year-old representing the new Corps that's coming in. And I tell you what, we've had them there that were 18 years old. So, I mean, anyway, what did you think?
Well, no, I thought it was fantastic. And when you say up to the podium, I mean, they came around, they had the cadets, and the cake was in the center of the room. So they came to the center next to the cake. Which and then you read General Lejeune's address.
Right, his message from 1923.
And did not have a microphone, so Carl had to...
Use my command voice.
Use your command voice in the room of... you know, everybody here has experienced that, right, Bob?
Not everybody has experienced my command voice, thank God.
But anyway...
I would probably, I'd probably be locked up by now.
But I know we're going to have to take a break, but I think this segues beautifully into what we want to talk about in the next segment. And the next segment is about the SEAL guy that's all over the news. And what do you think about that? Nothing like being out and remote, having a lot of physical activities to know that when you're ready at the end of the day, that you can fall tightly and wonderfully unwind in your sleep number bed. And I actually went down 5 degrees last night. My dual temp, I said 40 tonight because it's been a go-go day. We've been going since last Wednesday. We've been going nonstop. So I enjoy my sleep number, and there you go.
You know, my sleep number setting is 45 also. But the thing about it is right now you've got a huge sale going on at Sleep Number. It's going to go on this week, and where you can save over $600 on a top-rated Sleep Number i8 bed. It's the lowest price ever. You can save, like I said, $600.
i8?
The i8 bed. And also, besides having the dual air technology, the beds, you also can get the Sleep IQ technology, which senses how you're sleeping. You don't have to do anything. You just sleep, and it'll send you things on an app or a message saying, you know what, you may want to, you know, adjust your sleep number, how you're setting your settings. But Brian and Janice will be able to tell you this. When you head on down to the Target Shopping Center, the Sleep Number store, frankly, how much is a good night's sleep worth to you? It's coming up for Christmas, and these beds are rated number one by Consumer Reports. They've got a guarantee on them. They're made in a warranty, and they're made in America. And you could have a great night's sleep for like probably about 30 cents a night. And think about that. How much is that worth? All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back.
Can our northern counties afford to lose over 50 jobs? It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to drive to Sacramento and back 322 miles round trip for a bottle of milk? Of course not. It doesn't make sense. What this means to you, up to 7 days turnaround time on your mail, checks and bill payments will be delayed, seniors and veterans medications will be delayed, families forced to leave the area because schools declining enrollment, fewer people means retailers affected by loss of revenue. It doesn't make sense. What you can do, check your local area weekly newspaper and the Record Searchlight Thursday date section to sign the petition to save our local mail processing. Deadline is December 1st for names to be submitted. Just say no to the closure of local mail processing. It's the People's Post Office. Let's save it. Your name counts. You will make a difference. We need your help now. Paid for by the American Postal Workers Union. Call 223-7552 for more information. That's 223-7552.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
This is Wade Riggs. I'm speaking with Bruce Blake, the president of Powerhouse Solar. His company was selected to retrofit the historic Lorenz Hotel in downtown Reading.
It's a very exciting project to be part of. They called us early on. One of the requirements was that they had to have 90% of usable roof area needed to be solar and to offset the load of the Lorenz Hotel. We had to go through custom engineering and design to come up with a system that gave us the maximum amount of solar panels on that roof to give the max amount of exposure and output.
What do you attribute to the continued success of Powerhouse Solar?
I think it's because my wife's and my passion towards this industry. We believe in it. We have it on our own home. We're living proof that it works. And for us, it's a lifestyle that we want to promote and encourage. We love the idea that, you know, yes, there is a problem in the world, that we have an energy problem, but the solution comes up every morning.
Commercial or residential, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Hello, Frank Muse with Norton Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have 1 or 2 used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bogg. Good morning. It is 7:21 in the morning, 52 degrees out there. Looks like it's going to rain today. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Right there across from Sierra Gibbs, Estate Jewelry at its very best. Linda loves to shop there.
Also, they buy gold. And, if you have something that you need to have, an estimate or value, and he specializes in, stones, from all over the world. So go in and see Leonard and get an honest opinion.
That's right. Full service jewelry store right there. 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Leonard also, contributed to, Liberty on the Border at the, down there at Turtle Bay, which is a great super deal. Okay. Last night, Robert O'Neill, who is a Navy SEAL from SEAL Team 6, who is the man that shot Osama bin Laden. His name has been, they've been talking about it for a while. Is he going to surface? And he did on Fox in a special they had. 1 hour last night, another hour tonight. O'Neill, who is from Butte, Montana, joined the SEALs. He was in the SEALs, I think around 2000, before 9/11, and went through SEAL training. Was one of the team, and SEAL Team 6 selected their SEALs from different organizations, different teams, to have them work together to go after bin Laden. And Linda, we were talking about it last night, and we were saying
the title of the piece is "I Killed Osama Bin Laden."
Right.
All right. So Carl, I'm not sure how I'd feel about this. I guess for the layman who maybe has never served, or family that hasn't served, there's been a little bit of an outrage, and I'm trying to pull back up this piece, where there are some Vietnam era veterans as well as some other people that just kind of feel like, coming out publicly and talking about what you did with the team is just not a cool thing. What the SEALs are known for is to kind of get in and get it done, and to kind of go through
stealth
all
stealth in, kill it, stealth out.
Well,
just what you were saying there, sweetheart, is and
so how do you feel about that? Because you said I can't. If I tell you, I have to kill you. But you've done covert. Covert ops.
I've done clandestine ops, and which is there's a difference there between clandestine and covert.
Why? What's the difference?
Covert is nobody never knows about it, and it's and clandestine is a different form. You go in, you sneak in, but people do know about it. Covert is on a completely different tier, a different level.
So is that kind of like when a sniper does, and then boom, it?
Well, it depends on, if say a sniper was inserted, a SEAL team sniper or a Delta was inserted, where nobody knew it, and they took out somebody, and they stealthed out with nobody knowing it. That's a covert operation, and it falls under a different tier. clandestinely, just you're moving in, but it's not at that level. So SEAL teams work a lot of times, not a lot of times clandestinely, a lot of times overtly, but a lot of times covertly too. And you know, covertly, you know, working out of the agency and some a lot of things they do, the Central Intelligence Agency. Anyway, this guy came out, and just the title of it, "I Shot Osama Bin Laden." It's true. He was the second. They were told, by the way, by that woman that we made that movie. The movie about taking down Bin Laden that won the Academy
Award.
Zero Dark Thirty. She was one CIA. That was briefing him. And he said this. She said he's in the third floor. You want to get shooting? Get on the third floor. She said that in the briefing. And he says, I believed her. He was assigned to an outside security force, and he talked his way off it so he could get into, instead of being the team leader out there, he wanted to be on the team that went in. And when he went in into the third floor, into that room, and he walked in, and he said, "It's him." They had been practicing for months. They had this place built in the mountains, someplace around in the United States, and they'd practice. So when he says, "I shot Osama bin Laden," he pulled the trigger. But trust me, how many years did the CIA agent, to the agency work on finding him? How many hours of training went in with he and his fellow SEAL team members? And SEAL teams, you know, take a big pride in being SEALs, but also not talking about what they do.
Let me read this for you just a second.
Bob, you jump in.
Yeah, okay. U.S. Special Operation leaders have been critical of O'Neill for making public comments about the raid and have asserted his remarks an unseemly quest for attention that is damaging to the Special Forces program. Let me read on here. They're terribly frustrated, Dick Couch, a Vietnam-era Navy SEAL, told USA Today last week, referring to Special Operations leaders. It just makes us look like buffoons. O'Neill's disclosure comes nearly 2 years after another former SEAL, Team 6, published details about the raid under a pen named In No Easy Day. As a result of publicity, leaders of the Naval Special Warfare Command issued a rare plea to remember the code they pledged to live by in the face of the revelations. A critical component of the SEAL ethos is to keep quiet.
They sign. You sign all types of things. There's things. Bob, hop in.
Bob, please.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to bring up, is that two things come to mind immediately. First of all, a SEAL team is that. It is a team. It is not an individual out there saying, look at me.
It's not SEAL O'Neill.
And it is the ethos that you do not get recognition for what you have done. It is that dirty of work. It is necessary dirty work, and you do not seek prize or profit from that work. It destroys what the SEALs are, in my opinion.
Well, I tell you, here's the thing.
I know some SEALs.
O'Neill seems like a guy who loves his country. He seems like a guy who loves the teams. He has put his life on the line more times than he could probably remember, as have other SEALs, as have other Marines and Army and Air Force, yes, Coast Guard, Navy, all of those. What he did was, what he has done is he broke their code. He broke their word about, we as a team, we operate as a team, we win as a team, we die as a team. Last Man Standing with Marcus Dutroux. Is there a comment from him on this, or do they?
Let me finish your thought. Okay. Let me just tell you a quote.
Well, Marcus Luttrell told the story of what happened to their team. The other three team members were killed. Did Marcus Luttrell break the code then? No, he told about what had happened that day, and he had checked with the SEALs.
This is a letter.
One of the SEALs that had died, who was awarded the Medal of Honor. And he told the story about this and how brave this man was and what led to this in this story. And Luttrell, it's not like this. Luttrell didn't say, he didn't say, I did this or I did that. He talked about a battle went wrong.
Well, there's a letter that's signed by Rear Admiral Brian Losey and Force Master Chief Michael Magarassi. That was on October 31st. Here's what they said. We will not abide willful or selfish disregard for our core values in return for public notoriety or financial gain, period, which only diminishes otherwise honorable service, courage, and sacrifice.
pretty heavy.
That was a letter signed from your higher ups.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know if O'Neill got paid for being on Fox on this documentary last night and tonight. I don't know if I assume he's got this book out that he will make money out of, and you know people are coming up and shaking his hand, getting their arms around him, and everything. I'm not sure what led him to this. When they asked him the question, do you ever when he went in. And of course, the questions that the interviewer who has never been in combat, probably, or been in the service, goes, was Osama bin Laden, were you the last face he saw? And he goes, well, if there was enough light, it was. And then he said, do you think about, that you killed him? He said, I didn't think about it right away. It didn't sink in, but it did later. And he says, I've thought about it every day. It was either the worst thing I ever did or the best thing I ever did. Anyway,
just curious what our listeners think.
Robert O'Neill, SEAL that went out and said, I killed Osama bin Laden. And it was another thing too. He said, we took him down. I was a big part of it. And he says, well, I was a part of it. He changed his thoughts in mid sentence. I was a big part of this. Well, I was a part of it. He was a part of a team that went in there, and you're not even talking about the ones that flew him in there, the ones that found bin Laden, been working on it for so long. You could say the CIA intel analyst who's been following him for years killed him because she spotted him. She told him, and all they were was a entity to go in there and pull the trigger. So you could say that. Anyway.
I have one more thought.
Yeah.
Contrast this to the hundreds of thousands of the greatest generation who just went over there, did a job under conditions that would make a lot of our guys are going through these days look pretty tame,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then came home and got back to work rebuilding a country.
Yeah,
where's that generation?
Well, we met one of them yesterday.
And we're going to talk about him as soon as we get back from this from this break here. Yeah, Lewis Conter. I've got two heroes now.
93 years old.
I've got Bob McIntosh, and I've got Lewis Conter, who was standing on the deck of the USS Arizona. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Happy day after Veterans Day. It should be Veterans Month. What's wrong with that?
Nate Alvarea here with Dr. Carino from Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, what do you say to the theory that chiropractors just crack your bones and that chiropractic adjustments are merely a quick fix?
I'd say that's completely false. The primary goal of an adjustment is to relieve pain and restore function in your body. Adjustments improve areas of reduced movement in the joints and surrounding tissues. The cracking sound you sometimes hear is actually caused by the slight opening of the joint space and the release of gas within that space.
Doc, what about the fear that many people have that chiropractic care is just too expensive?
Studies have shown that chiropractic care is actually more cost-effective than traditional medicine. When compared to most visits to the doctor's office, chiropractic care is not only less expensive, but it can offer a natural and healthy alternative.
How can folks reach you, Dr. Carino?
Give Shasta Spine Specialists a call at 243-2300. That's 243-2300, or check us out online at ShastaDRX.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
So, Chris, December 9th, Haven's monthly Second Tuesday Club is meeting for lunch at Jersey Mike's Subs.
Lunch in a submarine? I didn't know we had a submarine in Reading.
It's a sub sandwich location, not a submarine in the water. Sorry, folks, she tries. Join us for lunch Tuesday, December 9th at Jersey Mike's on Browning Street next to Trader Joe's. Your support will allow Haven to continue to help thousands of animals with shelter and homes as Jersey Mike's kindly donates a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane's efforts.
I think lunch in a submarine would be really cool.
Maybe we could find you one and send you off on a tour for a really long time.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. If you're looking for a wonderful pumpkin latte or some kind of like special coffee, head on over to Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. The Tobacco and Brew Cuties, we call them. Inside Espresso Joe's, they've got a great, you know what? Joe and Shelley have supported this show since we've been on the air, and we're ever so grateful. The heart and the love that comes from Shelley. The reason I just want to shout out to her because they have supported the veterans. If we are doing some kind of, what do you need? Do you need a humidor or cigars or a gift certificate or whatever? Open armed all the time. But they've got the biggest walk-in humidor in the North State. And for those of you who like to, you know, have a cigar or something on Thanksgiving, go check out what they have, they've got new.
A lot of great gifts there, too.
And, of course, at Christmas time comes, so they start to do little goodies. And, again, if you're going to somebody's house or you're having a dinner at Thanksgiving, they have a really great price on holiday coffees. So sometimes they do jingle junk.
And I'm going to ask you what that is. Hey, you know, we were Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Jingle Junk. All right. Hey, there's something that, I have got – it's not easy being the producer and the board guy here in this studio. And I'll tell you why. During the break, I'll say like six things to Bob, including one of them where now he's trying to copy something and so that the people that are here in case something happens can read it. And so we've got that, and we want to be talking about something that's getting ready to happen with this guy named Jonathan Gruder. This guy is an MIT economist and the key architect of Obamacare. And he is, you know what? I don't even know how to say it except Bob. Let's just play Mr. Gruber's thoughts.
You can't do it politically. You just literally cannot do it. Okay, transparent financing. Unless I have transparent financing, also transparent spending. I mean. This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay? So it was written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Okay? Just like lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass. And, you know, it's the second best argument. Look, I wish Mark was right. We can make it all transparent. Boom. But I'd rather have this law than not. So it's kind of like his reporter story.
Let's bring it down. This guy, Jonathan Gruber, is an MIT economist and a key architect of the Obamacare. That's the bill he's talking about, Obamacare. He's publicly stated at least twice, which you just heard, that the bill was written in a tortured way to make sure the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, did not score the mandate as taxes. If it had scored as taxes, the bill dies, and that the American electorate is stupid. You know, frankly, you know, and then now this is starting to erupt up. And he didn't say it once. He said it on several occasions, at least twice on videos. This is what the Obama architects, the Obama, you know, that's that inner circle of the Obama White House thinks about the American electorate, that they're stupid. You know, and sometimes you have to ask yourself, that, you know, in some cases, maybe we could be a lot better, we as the electric. I'm not talking about our listeners here. Our listeners are very bright. They've got comments. They read. They listen to what's going on. They find out what's happening. People on talk radio vote, and they're better informed than other people. And they've taken all types of different polls on that. But here's the bottom line. When you have an election and 323,000 people vote for a guy who's been arrested and indicted for gun running and providing weapons to terrorists, Leland Yee, in the state of California, 323,000 people voted for this guy, and 2,000 of them voted in Shasta County for him in the primaries. 2,000. And why did they vote for him? He had a D by his name. He had his D by his name. Brian Daly, running for re-election, has gotten the endorsement of everybody, unions, everybody. He gets 76% of the vote. Where's the other 24%? It went to his opponent. Who's his opponent? I have a $100 reward out there. If somebody will show proof of life, a photo of this guy who ran against Brian Daly, $100. $100 bill I will put in your hand. You've got to show this guy's face. You've got to have a driver's license. You've got to have proof of life, which means today's paper or whatever day's paper it is. He gets 24% of the vote. He didn't run. Nobody knew who he was. So this guy from MIT and the Obama administration and his inner circle who wrote this thing, this is what they counted on, that our people, the American people, are stupid. You know, we're going to write this in such a way, nobody's really going to understand this. And Pelosi said it. We have to pass this to see what's in it. We have to pass this bill to see what's in it. They passed it in the dark of night. 27 of the senators who passed it are no longer in business. But guess what? They should get that great big retirement check every month after what they did. The American public is stupid.
This guy's a textbook intelligentsia. They are smart enough to lead us.
You know, when you take a look at this guy and his little smarmy attitude. I don't know, honey, you sit here. You've watched politics for the last 5 years. And, I mean, does something like this infuriate you?
Yeah.
Or do you just kind of say, it's just more of the same?
No, it grades me. And I don't like when I feel, talked down to. It really grates me. Like, you know, maybe that's what they're saying, that, you know, if you can't understand what this sentence means, then you're leave it to the experts. Well, no, that's why you have to keep asking. You know, right, it reminds me of, to go back in the medical field, period, is that, you know, sometimes people get lost in, and also with attorneys and doctors, they get lost in, you know, long Greek words, long, you know, terminologies. And we're just like, wait, just come down to the basics. It's either, you know, it's either yes or no, or that kind of thing. But I think this guy is very condescending. And first of all, I cannot stand his voice. So then I want to hear a clip again. He makes me want to run over there and slap him. I want to slap him.
I want to save this clip as one of our ones that I can play. Next to the one, it's, you know, that hey, if you drink water, you know, breathe air, or eat food, you fall under my office, from Mo Small, who is also retired at a great salary.
Now, the good news.
Well,
wait,
let me have one more follow-up on this.
Rant some more.
This is Obamacare at its very, very best. It is not transparent. It is torturous. It is a 22,000 pages of torture to anybody. It is destroying our healthcare system, and they did it on purpose. They wrote it like that on purpose because they knew if they actually wrote something that was simple and it said exactly what it was, a tax that would take your money and it would impact on you the way it has, it would have never passed. Even with the Democrats, it wouldn't have passed. This is probably one of the worst betrayals of the American people since Benedict Arnold. It was written like this. What about transparency, Mr. Obama? What about transparency? You know why he went to China right now? Because this was coming out. How do you explain this? How do you explain, Mr. Obama, when you're key architects, you can say, oh, well, you know, he was on the periphery. No, he wasn't. He was one of the guys that wrote this thing. He knew what he was doing. And if you don't think that the president didn't know what was happening there and the rollout and all of this, well, then I have some land that I can sell you. It's called Stillwater. You can do anything on it you want, and it's shovel ready. All right.
All right, well, let's take a quick a break after that, and then we'll come back in with some other topics here on KCNR 1460.
Mary's Pizza Shack. Even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55
friends, family,
and kids
from all the way back in 1959 when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
where the meatballs are as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I've been in practice for 10 years as owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at HealthWise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at HealthWise Chiropractic.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR, 1460. Carl and Linda Bott here on this beautiful, my gosh, it's Wednesday already. We didn't do the Hump Week song.
We'll catch it. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur, our friends over there, John Bastiani and his staff, is great staff there. They're, you know, they pride themselves on their customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock. Ammo, guns. I mean, what else can you ask for? Optics, accoutrements for shooting. All of it there at Bastiani Arms. Good people. And he's an outstanding gunsmith, John Bastiani. Bastiani Arms, again, give him a call, 222-8222. It's getting to be Christmas time. You want to, you know, because it's going to be a two-week wait before you can pick up those guns because you all are a bunch of criminals out there, and California wants to make sure no criminals get into those guns, get in those criminal hands. You might want to start going down there now and finding that perfect Christmas present.
Hey, that kind of segues into this little – we're going to go back into our subject in a minute. But gun stores suing over 91-year-old law. This is one cup and a go that, you know, you see in the paper. Four Northern California gun stores are challenging a state law barring handgun advertisements on windows or other places where they would be visible to the public. The stores filed the lawsuit Monday in Sacramento federal court, claiming the 91-year-old law violates their free speech rights. They also argue that the law unfairly singles out handguns because similar ads for rifles.
Oh, well, time to change. Time marches on. Let's talk a little bit about...
Those are allowed.
Yeah, let's talk about...
Rifles are allowed, but not handguns. Anyway.
What happened yesterday on Veterans Day, the different events. Of course, you had, you know, out at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, they had a big ceremony out there. And there is and we usually go to that one, but this year we went to the ceremony at the Elks Club where they toast for those who have, 11/11, they toast those who have died and the veterans. Not just the died, but all the veterans of all the wars. And we were there, and gosh, it was, you know, a couple hundred people there. And then they have a lunch afterwards. We had to skip that and take off. But that was moving also. But the guest out at IGO was a guy by the name of Louis Contour, if I pronounce that right. I talked to him yesterday. If you listened to us yesterday on our remote from Crown Motors, he was on the show. He's 93 years old. You know what, Bob? You didn't see him. But if you and I look that good in 10 years, he's 93. If I look that good, you know, in 10 years and you look that good in 10 years, man. I mean, this guy walks up, looks you in the eye, stands up straight. He remembers what happened that day when he was standing on the deck of the USS Arizona. He had the watch. And here came the Japanese planes. It was just phenomenal. What he talked about.
One of the big memories I have of the opening of the cemetery was Jim Sweat, the World War II ace.
Yeah.
And how this warrior in his 90s, still bright of eye and light of step, was surrounded by these young Marines who were kind of like, who were not really idolizing him, but showing their respect for this.
A lot of respect there on this. Anyway.
Medal of Honor
recipient. You don't win them.
Recipient. Yes, recipient. I stand correct.
Well, no, a lot of people do that, and I find myself every so often, but no, they don't win them. This is not a contest. It's recipient. But Louis Contour, now, it wasn't just enough that the ship got hit with this bomb that blew up all the magazine with all the ammo and the explosives in it, blew it up 30 feet in the air. Have you ever heard that before? Did you ever read that, Bob? You were in the Navy. That it went up 30 feet in the air, the bow did, and it came back down.
I knew that it lifted the ship clear out of the
way. Because,
yeah, the powder magazine was ignited by the bomb.
Anyway, so for the next 2 weeks after, and Linda, you're sitting there with it, because Linda was sitting there like, there's just, oh, wow.
And Molly. All of a sudden stopped talking and went. And like mouth open,
which is a big thing.
And
he's for 2 weeks he dove on the USS Arizona as they try to recover bodies and all this. He is obviously a very intelligent man and an articulate. But after that, he was selected to go to the enlisted aviation program where he was taught. Where he went through school, became a pilot, and received his commission. And he flew PBYs, which were a patrol boat. A plane that just could land on the water for long-range reconnaissance, missions to, move people back and forth. He was in New Guinea. So now he's flying this plane a couple years later. They have a bunch of flares in the back of the plane that they drop out, and they get hit by anti-aircraft. It explodes the flares. The plane catches on fire, and it's burning from back to rear. From rear to front, it's burning, and everybody on the plane, the whole crew is running to the front. He sets it down in the ocean, 6 miles away from an island. They jump out. They have no life rafts. They have nothing. And they're holding hands in the water in a circle to kind of keep together. And another PBY who saw it sees the plane burning on the water, drops the life raft. They row 6 miles to shore, a Japanese-held island, headhunters on this island, and they hide. Make a long story short, he swims out. Torpedo boat comes in. Everybody's rescued. He says they go back. And what was this, hon? They went back, had a meal, had some sleep, and then...
Went back out.
Flew a 13-hour mission the next day after they got rescued. Now, that is hardcore.
That's hardcore.
I mean, and then this guy went on to do other things. I mean, he started the SEER programs and all this. Anyway, and then he retires, and he said, well, I got into real estate then.
Development in Grass Valley.
In Grass Valley,
which
anyway.
Which is beautiful. That's God country up there, too.
You know what? So, of course, everybody knows that Bob McIntosh is my hero. my Marine hero there. So I think I've got a new one for the Navy here, Lewis Conter. All right, let's switch some gears here.
All right, I want to talk to you about I got a call from a girlfriend of mine, very, very dear, dear friend of mine, and said, you know, gee, I'm reaching out because I need some help. And so on Thursday night, I'm going to be interviewing can you just imagine, first of all, and I've got five thoughts coming out of my mouth at once, but okay, this is about a parents. These people, one of the parents works for my girlfriend, and they find out as of I think it was July 25th that both of their children have some kind of disease that is there's no cure for it.
It's called MLD. It's metachromatic leukodystrophy. And it causes the loss of abilities such as walking, hearing, vision, motor skills, memory, eating, and there is no cure.
So we're going to put out the call to support Riley and Caden this weekend. It's November 15th, Logan's Roadhouse. Tickets, it's a breakfast, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. They're $8 each. The money is going to go towards helping the family with medical costs. And we know how much our community comes forward. So Thursday night, I'm going to have the parents on because yesterday I talked with the father. And I've never met these people, but they're coming on because I think for them they're just, you know, it's like waking up to a bad nightmare to think that your children are afflicted with this, something they just, you know, and their
disease.
Lives
right.
have completely come now to taking care of their children in a different manner than what you think it's supposed to be when you raise children.
6 and 5. And they both were told the same day they had it. So we don't know anything about the disease, but they're going to be here on Thursday on Linda's show. And it's at Logan's Roadhouse. It's $8 a ticket. And the proceeds are going to go for these kids. Now, we need to get prepaid tickets only. So this isn't something you can just walk in on, which
they said they have about 100 tickets left, and they are really getting all the word out any way they can.
Right. Just go on down to the cashier at Logan's Roadhouse. Say, hey, I want a couple of tickets to Raising the Dough or just for the kids. They'll know who you're talking about. And, you know, if you can't make it, you can't make it. But you've done something there. You've helped these kids. We're going to go down and buy some tickets today. I don't know if we'll make it down there or not. But
on Saturday morning, but we're still going to buy tickets.
But we're going to buy tickets for it. And Bad Bob's going to buy tickets.
And they'll probably have tickets Thursday night.
Michael Quinn's going to buy tickets for it. We're going to have everybody should buy tickets for it. You know, and it's what? Who cares what the breakfast is, but it is bacon and eggs. And cinnamon rolls. Hey, Bob.
Yeah. 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturday. So anyway, that's something that I really wanted to make the special announcement for. And they're going to be, again, on my show tomorrow night. So you'll be able to hear more about it. And, you know, like there's diseases that people don't even know about that are happening. I'm just curious, like how did both of their kids get –
Well, how did you find out the same day? It must have been something. I'm thinking it's a genetic thing that they were tested for. But I don't know. But you're going to find out tomorrow. Mm. Okay, let's change the subject one more time. Are you liking this? Are we attention deficit disorder of radio? We've gone the full circle. Let's go to legal now.
Oh, boy.
DuVernay, Mr. DuVernay, Rick DuVernay, Reading city attorney, is going to retire next April, at age 54, he's retiring. He is going to he's not going to practice law after that. They just have to figure out what they want to do. They're not going to probably stay in Reading. They have no family here. Maybe go over to Las Vegas for a while where his parents are at. Mr. DuVernay makes $283,000 a year, including his retirement package. Before we come on again, I think what we ought to do is find out what his retirement package is. Does Mr. DuVernay ever have to work again? At age 54, if you didn't want to? 54. You know what? I just don't want to. I mean, I shouldn't be angry at that. I mean, he's a lawyer. I mean, I was just a damn Marine. I mean, he's here, you know, losing cases there. We were winning battles over there. I mean, I shouldn't say anything about this. But at age 54, he's retiring. At age 58, I know of Marines and soldiers that are running through streets in combat because, you know, one, that's what they do. At 54, retire. That's cool. But that's okay. No, look, you know what? That is okay because there's a lot of Marines and sailors that retired at 44 and then go on to other jobs. I'm sure Mr. DuVernay will. I would like to find out those. I wonder what his retirement package is. Which enables him to do that. You know, hey, he chose the law. I chose something else, as did the other, other warriors out there.
So what did you think of Eminem last night on Valor dropping a bunch of F-bombs?
I think that Eminem sucks, frankly.
Oh, don't say that word.
No, but watch me. He sucks.
And, I don't like that word.
I saw 10 minutes of that show last night, and that was supposed to be a salute to veterans.
Don't like that word.
Save it. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Science fiction is about to become science fact if the European Space Agency has its way. Paolo Ferrari is a space operations mission manager at the ESA and says that one of the key maneuvers has gone according to plan.
Separation happened, probably the most important moment together with the touchdown of the day.
And the space agency says its unmanned Rosetta probe has successfully released a lander headed out toward the surface of a comet. If it can land on that comet, it will in fact be a first in space exploration. From the Rocky Mountains to the upper Midwest, snow and a wintry blast of Arctic winds keeping people indoors and bundled up. This National Weather Service forecaster summed it up on KTWO-TV.
Basically polar air straight from the North Pole.
An Arctic chill isn't the only thing making its way down from Alaska this week. Another election winner, this one from the Great Land, has been added to the Republicans' new majority in the U.S. Senate.
It took a long time to count all the ballots from rugged areas of Alaska, and Republican Dan Sullivan is the winner. Sullivan defeated incumbent Democratic Senator Mark Begich, joining the wave of Republican victories from the midterm elections. Begich, who was here in Washington for the lame duck session of Congress, was a first-term senator who defeated powerful Republican Senator Ted Stevens in 2008. Begich conceded this election to Sullivan in the early morning hours when it became clear that 20,000 absentee and question ballots would not give him enough votes to overcome Sullivan. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
Should the town of Westminster, Massachusetts, enact an outright ban on all tobacco products? This local resident doesn't think so.
The town is very much against it, and these are people that are also non-smokers. It's just the fact that having other adults decide what legal item we're not allowed to consume, and it just makes you wonder if this passes, what could be next.
And this is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
When you save money and join the 97% of people who are satisfied with GEICO, you'll want to give someone a high five. But why do we high five? How did slapping each other on the hand become a thing? Are we drawn to the sweet sting? Some human behaviors don't make sense, and some do, like switching your car insurance to GEICO, which people have been doing for over 75 years. High five.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Labor slowdowns are creating problems at West Coast seaports.
The labor woes are slowing the export of a record crop of Washington apples and endangering a big Christmas season shipment of the fruit to Central American nations. Delays have also hit shipments of autos, smartphones, and numerous other products as longshoremen and shippers try to hammer out a new contract involving work at 29 West Coast ports. The slowdown comes at a critical time of year as other shipments of Christmas holiday goods arrive from Asia and await distribution across the country. Keith Peters, SRN News.
U.S. wholesale businesses posted a modest gain in their stockpiles in September as sales rebounded from a big decline the previous month. The Commerce Department says stockpiles at the wholesale level increased by 0.3% in September. That followed a 0.6% rise in the month of August. Sales by wholesalers rose 0.2% in September after a sharp 0.8% August decline. And this is SRN News. From furniture and food to fine art, foreign leaders have given members of the Obama administration thousands of dollars worth of gifts.
First Lady Michelle Obama appears to have raked in the most expensive gifts last year. The State Department reports the Queen of Brunei gave the First Lady jewelry worth around $71,000. That's almost seven times more valuable than the most expensive gift given to the president. The glass sculpture of a falcon was worth around $10,400. It came from Qatar's ambassador to the U.S.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. Macy's profits soaring higher than all those Thanksgiving Day balloons. Third quarter net income rose 23% as some expenses fell. The retailer's profit topped analyst estimates as its shares climbed in today's pre-market trading. For the period ended November 1st, Macy's earned $217 million, up from $177 million a year earlier. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's November the 12th. It is 8:05 in the morning, and our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, as I just found out.
It's currently 55 degrees in the downtown studios. Chance of rain today with temperatures that are going to reach just around 62. So, you know, it's going to be cool. Rain tonight, 48 with our lows. Looks like we're into showers the rest of the week, meaning that it says chance of showers. 60 tomorrow and 63 highs of Friday with our lows in the 40s. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated there, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Now, two things. Wait, rebuttal? Okay. So, first thing we're going to start off with. I cannot stand the word. I just think it's kind of gotten where Americans have been lazy, and they use the word suck. I hate it. It's tacky. It's like fingernails on a blackboard. Don't use it. It's stupid, and it's lazy. Think of another word.
Wow.
Now,
you know what?
Let's go back to the rebuttal of what happened
Chat
Pack.
I really sucked when I said that. Hey, you know what? Okay, I apologize
to
everybody.
That's about who you are
right
now.
I have to apologize because I let my irritation with extremely high salaries at the city. At the city government. So, and what I said was, oh, look, he's retiring. He's 54. Well, you know what? The first time I retired from the Marine Corps, I was younger than that. I was thinking I was like 52 or something like that. 54. Yeah, 54. About the same age. And you're right. You know, Joe says, hey, I was smart enough to be able to put everything together and retire around 48. Joe, you're right. Sungold, you're right. Anybody that's on there, you're right. I stepped in it because as Chief Belletti is telling me, he says, you know, we got soldiers retiring when they're 38. And you're right. I got wound up on that, and I was wrong. If you can do it, if you've got the smarts and you've got the capacity and you've got the education or you've got the job that allows you to retire early, then do it. You're right. And it's got nothing to do with anything else. I was just a little bit irritated when I see things. So I apologize to all because I tried to cover it by saying, there are a lot of people that do retire at that age, and I should not single out one person. So, Mr. DuVernay, accept my apology if you even knew what I said. Because if you're bright enough to retire at 54 and live a good life, there you go. Now, that's not going to stop me from talking about other things. But anyway, okay. Am I forgiven?
My dad retired at 62 after working at Aerojet for 30 years, 30-some years. And I think they called it at that time the golden handshake. My mom, they're in their 80s. My mom still is mad that he never went back to work.
Because she worked. If things are kind of calm around the house and Tom and I look at each other, I'll go, hey, June, how long did you work after Tom quit? I tell you what, he just looks at me and he just walks in the other room and pours himself a shot of Jack. You know, because we know what's happening for the next hour and a half. Is that, S.O.B. blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Hey, we're here with Chief Rob Pelletti. You know what? It must be nice to walk in on the day that you're on the radio, you know, and the headlines are property violent crimes drop. Unreported crimes worry the police, worry police chief, though. And this is something you've talked about for months. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us at the Marine Corps Ball.
Oh, absolutely.
The chief was resplendent in his uniform, and it looked great. And we had some photos taken of that probably will show up later on.
I'm not sure people have seen you in that uniform.
Seen you in the Army uniform. Yeah, I showed up in the Army uniform is what I meant.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What does this mean here? Are we past the worst part?
I'm afraid not. I hope so, but I don't think that's going to be the reality with the passing of Prop 47 last week. Realistically, you know, last week on the 7th was made 3 years that I've been here, which is kind of shocking. It's gone by pretty quick. But so let's think back to year one that I was here when AB 109 passed, and we had a 29% increase in property crime in that first year. Last year, we showed it went down about, you know, 12%.
Yeah.
And this year, we're sitting about flat. So if you just go by, you know, simple math, which it doesn't always quite work that way.
Not if it's Common Core.
If it's 29 minus 12, we're still behind by quite a bit. So and now a lot of our property crimes have been, you know, that were felonies have been reduced to misdemeanors. Including the possession of methamphetamine and heroin.
So,
if you look at the biggest problem, the root causal problem, I think, for crime in the city of Reading is methamphetamine and other drugs. So you have that drug, which leads to the addiction, which leads to the property crime, and now they're all misdemeanors. So when you play into that, you know, it's retroactive for life, and these people can now – they're inundating the courts, or they're going to, with appeals
this,
to
– This is horrible.
Yeah.
This is absolutely horrible what's going
to
happen.
To have they can appeal to have their felonies reduced to misdemeanors, which will let them out of jail. They released like 200 in one day from Sacramento County Jail. I don't know what Tom's figures are. They can petition the state – or the.
You're talking about 40,000 people. 40,000 felons that are in the jails could petition – To have their sentences reduced, and immediately people have stopped. They've changed their
the district attorney had to go through every felony charge that was still pending that applies and reduce it to a misdemeanor. So now your drug addicted offenders that we arrest for possession of methamphetamine and heroin are not convicted felons. So guess what? They can still go buy a gun. So you know there's a whole litany of things that come with this. You know there's a rule in criminal justice called the stale misdemeanor law. So if I catch them for what used to be a felony, but now they've stole less than $950, and I catch them an hour later, I can't arrest them because misdemeanors have to be arrested and committed in the presence of the officer, unlike a felony. We can't write search.
Oh, wait a minute. A misdemeanor has to be done in front of the officer?
In front of the officer.
So if somebody comes into the house and breaks in and steals $900 worth of stuff, grabs a computer or some jewelry that – if it's under 900.
Misdemeanors have to be committed in the presence of the officer or the person signing the citizen's arrest.
Okay. Well, that means then you're not even going to be looking for them.
Well, if we could recover the property, the stolen property.
And then
And then we refer the report to the district attorney.
But it's a misdemeanor.
But it's a misdemeanor.
You know what?
So, you know, I don't really think people understood quite what they were voting for when they voted for Proposition 47.
Of course they didn't. The way it was because it said save our schools.
Well, great.
Or something like that. I mean, what the hell did that mean? I had the DA of Humboldt County. Okay, let me break in for a second here.
Okay, go right ahead.
Go in and listen to that debate that I had the DA of Humboldt County on that Friday. And his whole thing was, I said, what about what's happened with AB 109? There's been no programs. There's been cutting the money back. Everything that happened. And he goes, well, and here's his little girl's argument. Well, the other one wasn't working, so we've got to try this. I said, try what? Putting more on the streets with no programs? These guys and girls have been in jail for 4 or 5 years. Now you're just going to turn them loose with no support system, nothing. How's that going to work?
Well, and I think if you look at the plan for Shasta County, I think that we're starting to see some success. If you look at the criminal justice system from left to right, from arrest through rehabilitation, with court being the centerpiece, I think we're starting to see some success on the right side of court. I think that, you know, some of the programs and things that we've put in place here with our housing program and our jobs programs and education programs, I think the sheriff's got between 15 and 20 in the the stand-up program that are attending Shasta College. They've had one that's already mm-hmm. graduated a vocational program. That's where I think we're starting to see a little bit of success with the sheriff and with probation. The problem is with the lack of jail bed space that we have. If they don't want to show up to court, we don't have any pre-sentence bed space to be able to hold them so we can get them through court, so we can get them to those rehabilitation programs. We can put in – we could have a capacity of putting – you know, I'm going to be a little ridiculous here, but a million people through these rehabilitation programs with 100% success. And I'm going to exaggerate to make a point. But if we can't get them through court to get to that program, what good is the program?
Let's talk about the crime statistics here just for a second. In violent crimes, homicide in 2009 was 2. It went up to 3 in 2011, and so far in 2014 it's 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Most of those, we've had a couple that have been
– You've caught them all.
We've caught them all, but most of those have also been family member related. Okay. We've had a couple that have been drug related, but most of the ones in the city have been family related.
Okay, rape has dropped from the high of 66 in 2012 to 49 last year, 2013, and 40 reported this year.
And if you look at rape, that's probably one of the most underreported crimes yes. nationwide. And that's what concerns me, because we have such – when you do comparative looks at different cities, not everybody else has a one safe place. And we have a great relationship with them. And most of the rape reports that we get are actually referred to us from One Safe Place
yeah.
because they encourage them to make the report so we can do the prosecution and the arrest.
And if we just look at the total violent crimes, that includes homicide, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, it peaked in 2010 at 791. Last year it was 585 for total crime, so it is down. And property crimes that peaked in 2012, again, at 4,380, and that includes burglary, larceny, vehicle theft, is down. It dropped last year 500 to 3,774, and so far this year about 2,900. But it's only 6 months.
Well, but that's where those statistics are through September
right.
That I sent Joe. So right. what concerns me, not on the violent crime side, because that typically doesn't go underreported.
Right.
What concerns me is on the property crime side, because our customer service isn't as good as I would like it to be in our response time, that we have an underreporting problem, because I still keep hearing about crimes and people saying, well, I don't want to bother you guys, so I don't want to file the report.
Well, let's talk about that yeah. when we get back. Plus, we want to talk about tomorrow night. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Martin and his people over there at Alliance Heating and Air are prepared to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day if you have an emergency. But what you need to do is give them a call at 221-2642. That's 221-2642. Have them check out your heating systems. Make sure that those filters are working. Make sure the system's working well, because it's dropping down in the 40s now. And in the evening, or even higher in some, or even lower in some other elevations around here. Give them a call again, 221-2642. They're going to take care of you like your family. Check out their website, homecomfort.org. That's Alliance Heating and Air. Our guest is Radium Police Chief Rob Poletti. And as you just said, also comments here in the chat room is that the thought is that it's underreported. You know, again, anecdotal evidence, but that's what you're thinking. So we'll be right back. Carl and the Bot, KCNR, 1460.
Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five-Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five-Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five-Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
So, Chris, December 9th, Haven's monthly Second Tuesday Club is meeting for lunch at Jersey Mike's Subs.
Lunch in a submarine? I didn't know we had a submarine in Reading.
It's a sub sandwich location, not a submarine in the water. Sorry, folks, she tries. Join us for lunch Tuesday, December 9th at Jersey Mike's on Browning Street next to Trader Joe's. Your support will allow Haven to continue to help thousands of animals with shelter and homes as Jersey Mike's kindly donates a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane's efforts.
I think lunch in a submarine would be really cool.
Maybe we could find you one and send you off on a tour for a really long time.
It's time to sign up for the annual Turkey Trot, Reading's longest-standing family tradition on Thanksgiving morning. It's easy to register. Just trot on down to Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA to register in person. Or visit www.shastaregional.com to register online. There's the Diesel Horse Dash for the little gobblers 8 years and under. The 2 mile walk fun run for the entire family. And for the more serious runner, the timed 6 mile race. Start your Thanksgiving with a brisk trot, walk, or run. The annual Turkey Trot is just around the corner, so register your family today online at www.shastaregional.com or register in person at Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA. For more information, go to shastaregional.com. Start your Thanksgiving with a brisk trot, walk, or run.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, my friends.
What a great How are you doing? You're fired up here, Carl.
Oh, yeah, I am.
You know, you should be.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction with Ted Leidy and his team out there. Now, look, this is what Ted's doing on November 22nd and 23rd. There's still room in this. We're having a concealed carry class there. All the instructors have donated their time, effort, and all the proceeds of this. It's $150 a class. Will go to support Liberty on the Border, this great exhibit down at Turtle Bay. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with hotels or anything else. All that's passed. This has to do with supporting the exhibit. And this is the first time that we've done this at KCNR is to go reach out to people and say, help us with this, because we're donating money to help have exhibits like this. It's on the Civil War, and it's outstanding. It's what led up to the Civil War. You know, it's a lot of things that led up to the Civil War, the war itself, and the aftermath. Great exhibit. And once you go in there for that, also you can just go next door to that toy one, too, which is super. But NFI will provide a firearm rental and ammo for this if you need it. And the only thing you have to do is you have to register online at readingccw.com or call 999-1822. That's 999-1822. Or give me a call, and I'll sign you up for it. And it's $150. You just make the checks out at the Turtle Bay Exploration Park. And it's not only do you get a concealed carry class, you also get a tax write-off on this. But it's a great deal. Okay. Our guest today is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti. And we're talking about how the headlines say that the crime's going down. A little concerned about underreporting, though, or maybe big concerns.
Well, yeah, you know, it's very difficult to gauge underreported crime because, you know, we can only tally what gets reported to us. But, you know, I'm out in the public quite a bit, and it concerns me when I talk to a lot of people that I talk to, and they say they've been victims of crime, but they still don't report it because they don't want to bother us or they don't want to wait. Now that you know, a lot of these crimes that we tried to keep felony crimes off the online reporting, And now they're misdemeanors. So, you know, maybe we'll get a better tally by opening up more reports to the online reporting system. And I understand, you know, people don't want to wait, but, you know, we respond as fast as we can based on what the demand of the department is at the time. And, you know, we're still – right now we have – 3 vacancies. We're anticipating a 4th due to a retirement in December, and maybe another one that may be leaving in the January, February.
Do you have an age qualification?
What's that? No.
As long as you've gone through the
academy and you're physically fit, and
you won't discriminate against age.
No.
So Linda could come in there.
Absolutely.
All right.
As mean as she is, she.
Oh man, I tell you what. You know, I had. You don't want to get into a fight with this woman. I mean, there's just no doubt that, you know, you better be wearing a bulletproof vest. You go.
But I can't have a whip and say you feel like it.
Nope, can't have that.
Okay, you know, let me aside here. I've got a real good friend. In fact, In fact, Donald called on Marine Corps birthday. He was the guy I was in combat with. That he and I, you know, we traveled together, combat partners, combat buddies, whatever you want to call them. And he called and. Donald is a full-blooded Navajo Indian. His wife is a full-blooded Hopi, and they're not always getting along there. But they got married, and after they're both Marine officers. So when they got out of the Marine Corps after, you know, like 4 or 6 years, they went to Phoenix, and they walked in on the recruiting officer, at that time the wait to get into the academy was like 6 months. These two walk in, Native Americans, college graduates. Marine officers. How long do you think it took them to get into the academy? A day. Anyway, it was like a day. But here's the thing is his wife was well known around, and the other police really liked her coming in, rolling in on stops. They said she would have that nightstick out in a heartbeat. And she was whacking away at him because she was small. She'd whack away, jump on him, jump on her back, you know, practice choke holds on these guys. I mean, this was just when you get into women into the police department, I would never mess with one because I just think they'd hurt you. You know, and they'd be smiling when they did it. Where, you know, you big officers, you know, okay, you're not going to do that. She just was, Linda would be breaking kneecaps. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go on back. All right.
Paint a nice picture.
So
Linda.
We're actually doing a lot of hiring right now. We have we're preparing to hire the 4 more. We've got ones in background right now. I have chief's interviews this afternoon, just trying to keep us at that 98. But we have, you know, 6 officers off right now that are going to require surgery from injuries from fighting with these guys. We've got some others that are off that don't necessarily require surgery.
Rob, are these like new guys that are coming in here? Some of the people, you know, are you hiring guys that have got 4 years or 5 years from another service, so they come in at a higher rate? Are you getting young ones?
A little bit of both. You know, we don't hire and send people to the academy, so they got to put themselves through the academy. The challenge we're getting with the recruiting from the academies is the job market's become extremely, extremely competitive as departments are now starting to hire again statewide. I mean, there was times where you looked at the California Post website at the height of the economic downturn, and there may be 2 or 3 departments, you know, that were actually trying to hire. It's a page now. So the job market's extremely, extremely competitive.
We pay very competitively, though.
We do, but we don't pay to send you to the academy. There's a lot of departments now that are back in the swing of hiring you right off the street and sending you to the academy. Oh. Within the first 2 weeks of Butte starting an academy, there's already been 6 or 7 agencies at the academy picking the cream of the crop. So, but we're still getting lateral entry applications. We have several today, and you know, we also have the laterals and the entry level officers. We've hired a mix of both. We just did. It's easy when you come in as an outside chief because badge numbers are all sequential based on, you know, when you got hired. So I know how many people exactly I've hired since I've been the chief because I can do simple math and I can subtract their badge number from mine. And so far, it's about 22. In the 3 years that I've been chief, and I would anticipate over the next year, we're probably going to have to hire anywhere between 7 to 10.
These 6 are on; they're getting surgery. They're going to be off for anywhere from probably
6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months. So you've got to keep them on the rolls.
Uh huh. Oh, absolutely.
Can't you have like injured reserve and hire some more?
Yeah, I guess not. That works in the NFL. That doesn't work for us. So
you've got 6 people less than you would, and these obviously are probably have experience. Are any of these like career ending injuries?
Some are. Yeah, I'm afraid so. There's a couple that I'll be surprised if they come back. Couple that are on second surgeries.
Yeah.
You know, we just lost two to medical retirement from multiple, you know, back and hip and surgeries. We've got one that's got to do knees and one that broke his hand. And
if I don't want to sound cold about this, but it's what we do in the military. You know, that is, if they can't deploy and they come back after surgery and they take another really good look at them, they can't deploy again, and it's time for discharge, a medical discharge.
Right, and we do that. We just had two that were – they were in their late 40s, so they were getting towards retirement, you know, that retirement age anyway. You know, but, you know, when a guy's had his fourth back surgery, you know, and yeah, it's time. This is a rough job, and with the methamphetamine that's here, you know, these guys are fighting with people on a nightly basis. And, you know, I jokingly kind of compared them to the NFL, where they retire in their mid-30s because they slow down and they get hurt more. But, you know, those guys only get hit hard on Sunday, and they only play 16 weeks a year, and these guys are getting hit hard every day. You know, even –
yeah, but getting hit hard by a 250-pound guy that's running at 83 miles an hour is, you know – so your guys are fighting meth guys who don't even know they're running 83 miles an hour.
As opposed to a meth head that
you can't hurt.
That feels no pain, is extremely strong, and doesn't get tired.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough for these guys right now. And you know, they're fighting with people by themselves longer because we have less officers on the street. So
let's talk about that when we get back, because there's some things I want to talk about. We'll cover at some point today, tomorrow. It's a big day. Measure F failed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear from our newest people. And when I asked them, Weaver and Schrader and Sullivan, what's your plan? And I didn't get a really good plan out of any of them. One of them actually said, well, probably more community watch. We got to get ourselves together and protect ourselves, which I found was kind of an abysmal answer. But I'd like to hear what you're thinking now, since that failed, and what we're going to go.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti.
Jamie got a gun. Oh, world's come undone. Looking straight at the sun. What a daddy.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at WallnerPlumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Redding Concrete is proud to help bring high school football back to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Redding Concrete is your local ready-mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality ready-mix product at competitive prices. Those are our primary goals. Redding Concrete is located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Redding Concrete, serving you with a quality ready-mix product.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, my friends. November the 12th, it's a Wednesday, and it's Hump Day. 605-4567. You have a question for the police chief, Rob Plate. Here's a good chance to ask it during this segment here. KCNR1460.com is how we are streaming. 52 degrees out there. It's going to be raining later on today. We're all hoping for a real wet, rainy, cold winter. It helps solve a lot of the problems of the illegals. So
puts a lot of water in the lake for next summer,
too. There you go. And that's the big thing there for our friends.
So I get to go water skiing.
Yeah. We were talking about when we came back here is about
the plan.
The plan. What happened? Thank you.
I'm the sitting plan. Here. The plan. Not the plane, the plan.
Okay. The F failed.
Yeah.
So we need to know what's the plan now. I mean, well, even though we know we've got three new people coming in, well, two and a half.
Well, that still puts us at just the 98-20
yeah.
we have.
Yeah.
I mean, there's different, you know, compliments that we could do to what the officers are doing with some volunteers and some cadets. And, you know, the CSOs are the biggest compliment to what the officers are doing because they take a lot of the non-dangerous duties off of what the officers do. But there's still no replacement for a police officer. And a police officer is the one that's actually going to go make the arrest and take people to jail and be that major crime deterrent, you know. And you know, I believe that when criminals go to commit a crime, they're doing kind of a weights and balances. So they're trying to figure out in their head what's the benefit for committing the crime versus the punishment and my chance of getting caught. Well, right now, the chance of getting caught with seven officers on the street is really low.
Do you really think they think that?
Absolutely.
You really think they think – I mean, these people on meth and all these other drugs. You think they're really thinking about that?
Because they really don't want to get caught. That's okay. Why they're fighting. I mean, they know they're going to get out of jail because they know the jail's full. But they still fight. So it shows they don't want to get arrested. So when you really look at, you know, how do you weight that? You know, because right now it's tipped more towards I get more benefit from the chance of getting caught or punishment. And when you add officers to the street and every time they turn around they see a cop, it brings up that deterrent value and weights that scales more evenly or at least in our advantage.
Well, that leads into another question then. If that's the case, having the cars driving around with just people doing eyes on target, not getting out of the cars, just driving around, would that be a deterrent?
It could be, but they're going to figure out real quick that they're not cops. Because they're not engaging them. When our cops see bad guys, they stop them to checkouts if they're not going to something that's an emergency call. So it's not going to take them very long to figure out what that process is. The other problem with that is, you know, when I used to work, you know, patrol in, you know, downtown Stockton, and our guys do it the same here. Half the time, you left your seatbelt off so you could get out of the car quick because people run up to the police car. Well, you got a volunteer that's driving along, and now all of a sudden some guy runs up to the police car or tries to do something to those police officers, and you don't have a police officer sitting in that police car. And that gives me great concern as to the safety of the people that would do that. I would rather see our volunteers doing things that would – if we're going to use a volunteer program that free up officers' time, okay. You know, so that the officers can go deal with the bad guys and keep them out of harm's way.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I got a quick question for the chief. Hey, listen, with the extraordinary amount of injured police people or deputies, which is 10% of your force, it seems to me that something's askew here. Do you have comprehensive physicals every year for your police officers and, you know, they're fully vetted as far as their health is? Because I've noticed that all your squad cars have tilt wheel apparatuses, because some of them seem that they're pretty much overweight and out of shape. I don't know. I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, we can't require a physical standard like they do in the military, because if you are going to do that, according to California law, you have to pay them time to work out. And so, you know, we're trying to fill patrol shifts. I think that if you really looked at the 98 sworn of the Reading Police Department, you would find that comparatively to other places, most of my officers are doing CrossFit and they're in shape. And I will tell you that the Reading Police Department also wears a higher level threat level of bulletproof vest than a lot of departments do, which makes it quite a bit thicker. Actually, the first year I was here, I thought I had one of my sergeants that was quite overweight, and I saw him without his vest on, and I said, well, you're not overweight. So, you know, don't get confused with the vest. Most of the stuff that we're getting, it's fights due to injuries or injuries due to fights. So, you know, broken hands, you know, torn ligaments in the knees when the people fall across their knees, injured backs, injured shoulders in the fights. So most of our officers are in good shape, but we don't require a strict physical standard after hiring because of the workout time. The workout time. You're required to give them workout time if you're going to demand a physical standard. So we don't have the time in the day right now with our officers' level, you know, with our staffing level the way it is, to be able to fill patrol and let guys off to go work out.
All right.
I'd love to, but it would take a lot more officers on the force to be able to do that.
Okay, so we've lost 6 officers. They're getting ready to be surgical. I mean, any one time, 10% of your people are down, though, right? About 10%?
It's about 10%, but you got to remember that most of the guys that are getting injured are guys in patrol. So, you know, we have of the 98 in the department, that's total. That includes me, 2 captains, 4 lieutenants. That's out of that 50 officers in patrol, we're down that much. So well, it's even a higher percentage.
Can the lieutenants and captains get back on patrol if
they
have to?
They do. We've also reduced – we canceled the homeless outreach program a few months ago because we're forcing too much overtime already. We're cutting traffic in half and sending those guys back out onto patrol until we get these guys back in. We've reduced in investigations considerably to get people in fill patrol because that's our core function. So we're making the adjustments that we can, but, you know, in the end, you can't run the same horse across the desert forever without giving it a break. We're ordering these guys back to work. We're taking their days off, time away from their family, and eventually they just get tired and they need a day off. And so, you know, you also start to get, you know, more accidents and other things because you have tired officers working and having any time off.
I know something you've been saying for months is that you don't want more overtime.
I don't need more overtime.
You've got that. You need more officers on the streets. Okay, F didn't pass. Now it's up to our new city council to come up with a way of hiring at least how many more?
Well, you know, if you look at
bare bottom.
I've got a 10-year plan written by Lieutenant Modi for Chief Blankenship that at this time put us at about 132 sworn with about 20 CSOs. I have a report from 2005 written by Captain Peter Hansen for Chief Modi that put us at 155 sworn and about 26 CSOs. So, you know, if you look at population.
And how many do you have now?
98? I'm 98 and 4. So if you look at population ratios, you're looking for a ratio in law enforcement of between 1.6 to 2 officers per 1,000 residents. We're at 1.07. And if you look at, you know, I've heard a lot about Chief Bratton. When Chief Bratton was in L.A., Chief Bratton did all this. And Chief Bratton was a great chief, but Chief Bratton in L.A. had 2.6 officers per 1,000 residents. So if you do the math, and you'll really have to look at Reading when it comes to – we have a census population of 91,000, but when they do market studies for Reading and they did a traffic analysis study of Reading years ago, the daytime population was more like about 120,000 to 130,000.
Yeah, because people come in from all
over.
Because
everybody comes to Reading because it's kind of an island city in rural California.
Yeah, that's what we look at when we're – how many people do we reach a day?
So if you look between that 1.6 to 1.8 officers, you know, or 2 officers per 1,000 residents, if you just go off of the census population, you're talking between, you know, 150 and 180 sworn, and we've got 98 and 4. So is it realistic for the police chief to say, I need double the force that I need? Well, hopefully, someday, as the economy grows, I understand where the budget is, and we need to make that plan for growth in the police department.
Okay, so we can't double the 7 per shift, but we could, you know, we need to add at least 2 per shift then, right?
Well, you know,
what was your study? I know you did a study.
I did a Rob's wish list the other day, you know, Rob's pipe dream. And it came out to be about, you know, 180 sworn officers and about 28 CSOs.
Okay, you're right, though. We can't do that.
We can't do that.
Right away.
So, not right away, but
right away,
you know, that's
though,
where the target should be. And incrementally, you have to grow each year.
But okay, let's, I mean, what do we need to get our, to get just our streets back a little bit?
Well, there's four primary things that I think, you know, that we need to look at. Number one is adequate staffing of the police department. That's number one for the city of Reading. Number two, we need adequate jail bed space. Pre-sentence jail bed space so that we can get these people through the court process and into rehabilitation.
Well,
we don't have that either.
That's at the county. I haven't seen anything being done on that in what, in 3 years?
We also
except the new jail is going to be built in 3 years.
Right. We also have a huge problem with mentally ill, and yet we have no mental health facility. And we need to grow that because right now those mentally ill, the only place that we have a place to take them is to the emergency rooms. And then on a 72-hour hold, these grossly mentally ill or the worst cases, they're tying up a lot of emergency room bed space because that's the only place that they can keep them. We need a mental health facility. Number four, we need to figure out what the attractant is of this transient population and modify the practices so that we can still service our homeless population or our transient population, but we're not attracting them. When my guys went out and I just – you know,
we know that though, right? We know what's attracting them here. They get stuff here.
Well,
and our city council doesn't have the doesn't have the wherewithal or the ability to say to shut down a lot of these things.
It's the ability to do that. I think more than anything else.
Why not permit people that want to give away food and sleeping bags and all this stuff?
We'll see how that goes in Fort Lauderdale, where they arrested a pastor for feeding, you know, the homeless in the park.
I love it.
But,
I love it.
You know, you really have to look
well,
at,
I don't know about, you know, that's kind of, but something has, you can just make them, you can permit them though.
Right. The homeless outreach program that we sent out didn't end up asking the two questions I really wanted asked, which was, where did you come from originally and why did you come to Reading? Fortunately for me, my bike guys that have been out doing the citations to them have been asking those questions.
And what'd they say?
They come from all over the place.
And
I've
why?
Got a list. Nebraska, Texas, South Beach, all over the place. A lot of them have been here up to 1, 2, 3 years.
And why?
For services. And that is the primary answer.
And we're going to take a break on that. Why are they here? They get the services. We'll be right back.
That kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. Fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to KCNR, 1460. And, you know, we have a show just on what we talk about at the breaks, because there's a lot of information that passes through here that's good stuff.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right off Athens Avenue, right across from a Subway there. Great haircuts. Discounts for seniors, discounts for veterans. It is the Cheers of barbershops. I went there Monday, and you know, I had to wait in line, but that's okay because there is no, you know, you just go in there.
There were a bunch of other Marines.
A bunch of other Marines in there that day, and we were ooh-rawing each other, and we were fist bumping, a couple of chest bumps. I didn't realize Marines looked that great, so it was. Oh no, I'm not talking about the female Marine that was walking by. No, we were fist bumping and everything. Hey, right there again, man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop, great place to go to. All right.
I'm glad you've appreciated that. Hey, we do have tickets that we need to give away. And we're here with the chief this morning. We're talking about a lot of stuff, but this is also something that we promise that we're going to do. It's the Christmas Spirit Show that is for Riverfront Playhouse. We've got two tickets to give away. That's media night. That's Wednesday, November 19th. Two tickets here for the 7:30 p.m. show. Again, it's the Christmas Spirit. My friend Victoria Graham is in it. It's a wonderful Christmas show. And, give us a call here, 605-4567, and you'll get two tickets. Take a friend. That's maybe a little pre-Christmas present. November 19th. Give us a call here. Two tickets. Again, the Christmas Spirit at Riverfront Playhouse.
Okay, now, quickly, before we get into what's happening tomorrow night, there was a question from Liberty. What about the proposed daycare centers for the homeless as being as attractive? What about that? Well, in this proposed village they've got out here someplace.
Yeah, those are real concerns for me. And we really need to, you know, I was really hoping that the homeless data survey would show us, you know, where you came from, what brought you to Reading. And the question just was the only one that asked that question based on the sheets that I've seen that we can tell is the police officer when he was filling out his. And that's where we've got, you know, some of the data on where they came from. But the bike guys that have been out have been asking those questions. So we're going through their stat sheets and pulling that data together right now. It's not necessarily, you know, that you have one. It's what practices are you putting in place and how welcoming are you to, you know, if we've got a homeless or a homeless problem in Shasta County, then let's focus on Shasta County homeless. Let's not make it so accessible that you're attracting them for other places. Because I'll tell you, this population talks to each other. And, you know, we've encountered people that have been from back east and, you know, Montana and Wyoming and other places that are coming here for medical care, that are coming here because of shelter, that are coming here because Reading right now is known for being homeless friendly. And they want to be in that point of least resistance where they're welcome.
Okay.
Okay, when you say it's homeless friendly, let me just interrupt here for a second. Has that been something that has that question been asked to people that have been interviewed on the street? Let me clarify that. So that, why are you here? Because we've heard.
Yeah. Where are you from and why did you specifically come to Reading?
And where did they hear that Reading was friendly, homeless friendly?
They get it. They have a network that talks on their cell phones. So they know each other from passing because they're traveling all over and they tell people where it's good to be. There's other counties in California that say go to Reading. They have all these resources. We don't have it. You know, Tom Basenko ran into a guy that was here from Colorado because he heard he could get surgery here. And he said, now I can't get it here. And what do I do? And Tom said, go back to Colorado. So, you know, there's other states that actually, you know, refer people and send them and give them vouchers to get to California.
Okay, this is off subject. This is why we haven't talked about it, Joe. But Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals just told the California Attorney General that they're not looking at the concealed carry, the new law that was slapped down in San Diego. I haven't had a chance to read it, Joe. That's why we haven't talked about it yet.
I haven't either.
Yeah, but what it looks like is that I'm not even going to say what exactly it does because I have not had a chance to read it. I got Bob trying to look it up right now. Okay. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night is the quarterly town hall meeting in a little different format. We've got two events that are kind of partnered together tomorrow night. You know, as I promised at the last town hall meeting, we've got 28 vendors, kind of a crime prevention fair that will take place from 5:30 to 7. I will be there kind of milling around so people can grab me and ask me the traditional questions, and I'll give you the answer your questions and be accessible for that. And then at 7 o'clock, for those that want to attend, April of France and the Safe City Project is going to do their half of the meeting. We kind of married the two together, so folks only had to go out one night at a time. But that second half of that meeting is, you know, this is a citizens group and volunteers that have got together to research topics. And so they're kind of the stars of the show tomorrow night. So, you know, please, if you see me at the crime prevention fair and you have a question, ask me then, because I'm probably not going to take the stage after that. We want the citizens that have put in hundreds of hours of time, you know, to kind of be the stars of the show and have their time for their event that they've organized. Mine is really the crime prevention fair at the beginning. So if you see me and you have a question, grab me and I'll answer it for you.
Okay. It should be something there. The ten things that April LaFrance and her team have come up with, like you said, she wouldn't talk about them right here on the station, which I found, and because she wants to keep them a secret and all that. Well, no, and it's not a secret, but she wants to reveal them there. Okay, now.
She wants people to be interested enough to come so
and
that the community can be engaged.
What time does it start tomorrow?
It starts at – the doors will open at 5:30. That's when the vendor booths will be there. People can mill around for
Civic
an hour and
auditorium.
A half. Civic Auditorium. 5:30.
Right.
I'll be there the whole time. And like I said, if you have a question for me, grab me. If you don't grab me and nobody's asking me questions, I'll probably grab you because I'm hypersocial and I need to talk to people. So be careful if you don't want to talk to me when you walk by because I might grab you.
Okay. This and just going back to the Second Amendment thing, we're gonna study it and we're gonna try and get Sam Paredes on, which is a good idea. It just released this morning from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, California Attorney General has been denied the right to intervene in the Peruta case concerning CCW good cause statements. And it comes under the, if you look it up, you can look it up on the internet, but it's something like cdn.ca9.uscourts.gov from the state. So.
It's a very convoluted website. When we get a little easier link, I was looking for one of the news organizations who would give me a more concise appearance. But we will get into it, Joe. It's just that on the fly, it's real hard to do.
We can't. It's difficult to look it up because I've got to look at all this stuff. And you're right. We will try and get Paredes on because it looks like it has an impact. Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti is with us here. And the good news is it looks like the crime's going down. Bad news is because it's underreported. Bad news is that felonies are now misdemeanors. And the impact it's going to have on us out here is going to be tremendous. Good news is that
I hope I'm wrong on that. Well, I really do.
Well,
but,
I hope you are too, but I don't see how it could be.
They're
releasing more with nothing. They're taking more money away from Pacinco. They're taking money away from them.
The reason that happened, the state of California is still putting the same amount of money from the sales tax raise and other things to AB 109 statewide. The problem is big counties who have more political influence change the quotient, and smaller rural counties are now getting less of that piece of the pie than we got before. So it's not just a cut to Sheriff Pacinco. It's a cut to Sheriff Pacinco, probation, and the entire criminal justice or community corrections partnership that works with that budget to do these rehabilitative programs.
Okay. Now, we need more police, but we still haven't heard. We've got to get them on. We've got to get the city council on. We have got to hear what their plan is to be able to increase the budget to be able to hire police. And you know what? The only ones that had the plan didn't get elected.
Well, and, you know, it's
or reelected.
You know, I really look forward to, you know, working, you know, with the new council and see where we can get. And
I surely will.
You know, I'll keep being honest about what I need and what it's going to take, you know, to protect this community. And, you know, we'll go from there.
You need to, Chief, because you have to get it out to people through here and other means, is that this is where we're at and this is what we need. You know, that it's not up to me to find – it's not up to you to find the means. You've identified – everybody knows what the problem is. Now we have to – and you've identified the fix.
Well, I committed to this community to be very open, honest, and frank. And sometimes that makes me popular and sometimes it makes me unpopular. But, you know, you're going to continue to get the truth from me on where we are. And I'm going to continue to do my town hall meetings. If there's 1,000 people there or there's 15 people there, I'll continue to be very accessible.
The Liberty says, and one suggestion would be, instead of homeless shelter daycare centers providing free services, we ought to look at, if you want to help these people and give them a chance to work, then the work needs to be substantial and significant. That's right. You know what? An employment, a rise in the employment around here and jobs and all that would help a lot of people. And probably get the homeless people that want to be helped. Would really help them.
Rising tide all boats.
If you really look at the goal of public safety, it's protect the public so that we increase the quality of life, so we attract business, so that it increases the economy, which continues to increase the quality of life. I don't know that we're in a place right now that we're actually providing that.
Wow. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things. We've got a lot of things on our plate, and I tell you what.
We're talking about it. We're working on it.
All the money that was spent on this election, we ought to be able to – you know, those people ought to be able – to fix this on December 2nd, they all become swear in the new city council.
Mm-hmm.
Should be interesting. Okay. Thanks a lot, Chief.
Great day. Thanks so much for joining us. And try to use other words besides S-U-C-K.
Right. And we'll see you guys all tomorrow night.
That's right. Tomorrow night at the Civic Auditorium. And we'll talk about that. Tomorrow, Trish Clark's going to be joining me here. And we're going to be talking to a lot of different people about a lot of different things. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Gates of hell, but I won't
back down. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mission accomplished. The European Space Agency says it has landed a spacecraft on a speeding comet for the first time ever. The landing marks the highlight of the Rosetta mission to study comets and learn more about their origins.
Rosetta sort of spoiled us. Things in the last months and years tend to happen according to plan. Yeah, it's not normal in spaceflight, but Rosetta has been behaving very well.
The Rosetta mission has been ongoing for 10 years. President Obama, during a visit to Beijing, has reached a deal with China on cutting greenhouse gas emissions. The U.S. will try to reduce its emissions by up to 28% by 2025. China, on the other hand, is not committed to cutting emissions by any specific amount. Incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell calls the U.S. goal unrealistic, saying it will hike utility rates and kill jobs. Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe terms it a non-binding charade. He says the U.S.